Well, I mentioned earlier today the fact that several airlines would not be mandating vaccinations for employees, counter to what was announced by United Airlines a few days earlier. The state of the workplace is certainly in transition due to the rise of COVID cases from the Delta variant. A lot of expectations of going back to the office right around Labor Day are being pushed back. There are a variety of different components from a legal perspective that you need to look at. Carol Goodman is a partner in the New York City law firm of Herrick Feinstein. She is chair of the Employment Practice Division and also co-chair of the Litigation Department, and a pleasure to have her joining us to take a deeper dive into this. Carol, thanks for a few moments today.
Thank you. Good morning.
This is an unbelievable time, I think, for you, and looking at where we are in terms of rules around employment and back to the office, because of all of these dynamics that seemingly are changing, if not day by day, but week by week.
I would add possibly hour by hour. I agree with you. The state of the workplace is certainly in a flux. And really has been for the past 18 months when we started thinking about moving workers home or remote, and most recently moving them back. So with the new challenges as a result of the Delta variant, companies who had a planned reentry date are most definitely taking a pause and asking, do I reopen as scheduled? Mm-hmm. Do I delay? Do I implement a mandatory vaccine policy?
I mentioned about the airlines making that call. Really, what is it coming down to for a company to make that call on whether or not to mandate a vaccine? What are the factors that companies are looking at right now?
It is, let me step back just a bit, because if a company has the luxury to have every single worker work remotely, that would be the safest for coworkers because nobody's in the workplace.
Right.
That's not the case for most companies. So a company does first have to consider, can my business sustain an additional delay? Or do I need to reopen on schedule? Or perhaps I have been open this whole time. There are so many companies, airlines, residential communities, restaurant stores that have been open. So what they do, though, have in common now is that rather than strongly encouraging these vaccine policies, they are thinking of implementing the mandatory policy because employees are demanding it.
Mm-hmm.
Employees are telling their employers, I don't feel safe anymore being around unvaccinated workers or third parties. So companies are going to council and looking at the guidelines and saying, can I do this? The answer is yes. You can implement a mandatory vaccine policy. Here's the issue. Once it's implemented, if an employee or a guest refuses to follow it, what do you do? That's a hard question.
Right. And then just after you were talking about that, my mind was thinking to what we heard from CNN a few days ago of having a mandatory vaccine policy. Apparently, a couple of employees, and it was really the honor system. It wasn't like you had to input information into a website to be able to to show proof. It was kind of that type of belief of policy. Apparently, these employees did not get vaccinated. They went into work and they were fired for it. And I guess that's kind of the line being drawn right there.
It is, and that's a really good segue into how best to implement this policy. A mandatory policy means you need to be vaccinated to be on site, to walk into our place. And if an employee is required to be on site and they're not vaccinated, the logical consequence is they need to find another job. There are exceptions, or always exceptions, or exceptions for disabilities and sincerely held religious beliefs. But putting that aside, if an employee says, I'm not going to do it, or a third party says, I'm not going to come in, I'm not going to be vaccinated, they can't be on site, an employee can be terminated. But unlike the situation you described with the honor system, the best step is to implement a policy, a written policy, where the employees receive it, read it, understand it, and also have time to get that vaccine.
Could we
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry. Could we also be seeing at times employees who are vaccinated, but as you mentioned, have that concern of being in the office, the company says, no, I need you in the office. And we know that, you know, there are sectors out there that are kind of showing this as a pattern, the banking sector being one of them. Would we potentially see employees relieved of their job because they would not come in because they have the concerns of people not being vaccinated? But the company says, no, I need you in the office.
Yes, they can be terminated. There are a few factors just to look at, though. You want to, as a company, you want to be consistent. So if you have a company that people are in, everybody's in the office, there aren't exceptions other than for medical or religious beliefs, something like that.
Right.
And somebody says, I don't want to come in, you can terminate them because the company's making a decision that to run our business, we have to be here. The problems arise when there are some employees are allowed to work remotely, some aren't. And if you base that decision on the job function, if you're doing IT, if you're doing back office, we're going to allow you to be remote.
Yeah.
But if you're working with clients, guests, serving food, the mailroom, interaction with visitors, the receptionist area, that is logical. That position description leads to the point that you need to be in. You know, what's interesting that we're finding is as companies are implementing the written vaccine policy, and you have to give a month or so for somebody to go out, speak to the doctor, get a vaccine,
right,
possibly wait 3 weeks, get the second, you know, we're finding that some employees are getting the vaccine. They even articulate that if my job's on the line,
right,
I'm going to do it.
Right.
So you may get more vaccinated individuals than you had before. But the other consideration for an employer is I may lose valuable employees. If I implement this and I have to, you know, apply it fairly, some people may not be here anymore. And those are hard decisions.
So that brings up an interesting component of a lot of these elements playing out right now with where we are with the labor market and the fact that there are so many jobs open right now. And we've seen people, you know, making the call to leave one position to get another because there are a lot of jobs open at this point. It's the dynamic that the business really has to look at right now is what's more important, making sure that I have all of my employees in place right now, no matter what the dynamic is, or feeling that, you know what, if I lose a couple of employees, it's not a big thing because there are other people out there that we can onboard and get online fairly quickly.
I think that's right. I think that's recent because with many, many companies implementing the same types of policies, if an employee says, I'm not going to get vaccinated and I'm going somewhere else, that job market, that pool has shrunk.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to find a place that will allow you to come in without a vaccine or frequent testing and very burdensome type safety measures. But I agree with you. And that has changed from several months ago. There are a lot of jobs open and there are a lot of individuals who are looking for jobs. If you're willing to get vaccinated to be on site, you'll find that job.
Mm-hmm.
But many companies have decided to just continue to strongly encourage.
Right.
They don't want to lose valuable employees, and they don't want to replace them, and just use additional safety measures such as frequent testing, masks, which are coming back in any event,
yep,
social distancing, etc. But it's not a perfect system, as you can imagine.
Is it your expectation then, because of some of these dynamics at play around vaccinations and around masks, and maybe to a degree we're already seeing it, that more and more companies will be delaying their return to the office? I think a lot of firms were targeting right after Labor Day. You get through the summer months, kids are back in school, people will be back, want to be back in the office. But maybe because of the rise of the cases, because of the Delta variant, we're seeing that being pushed back to October, November. Some companies, I know a couple in the tech sector, have already pushed back into 2022.
Yes, I agree with you. It's safety first. The biggest mistake is to open too fast or reopen and have employees that are getting sick. So if a company's business can sustain it, and not every business can, I have found that the return dates are being either delayed or staggered.
Yeah.
So that not everybody's there at the same time, or certain functions are coming in first. Some companies are waiting to see what happens the next month. But more and more are delaying it at least for a month.
I guess for a lot of companies, then, they're at a point right now where they really need to find out how many of their employees are vaccinated and how many are not, so that they can have a better understanding of maybe which way they need to go on policy, correct?
Yes, that's my advice. See what we're talking about. And when you do this poll, or there's a procedure that you can do it through HR, you collect vaccine cards, that's allowed. Which functions don't have this vaccine, or which employees, you know, performing which jobs, are we at 90%? Are we at 99%? Are we at 50% in our company? And if you are something at 50%, that's a hard decision to make a mandatory policy, because you may be losing a lot of employees.
Right.
It is the first question.
We are joined by Carol Goodman, who's a partner in the New York City law firm of Herrick Feinstein. Before we let you go, I mentioned at the top that you're chair in the Employment Practice Division. And obviously, one of the big stories yesterday was the announcement by Governor Cuomo in New York that he is going to step down. Obviously, the concerns are potentially around harassment in the office. And again, not speaking specifically about his case, but in general, this again reminds us how important these issues around workplace harassment are, even in our culture today.
Well, it's a great topic to end with, because I do a lot of harassment or anti-discrimination training. And you're right, because over the past 18 months, some employees or companies are thinking, well, we're not in person anymore, or at least not right now, so this can take a back seat, and it can't. And in fact, the focus on training employees should work in our new remote environment. I could be harassing somebody virtually over text, over Slack, with a sign behind my head on a Teams meeting.
Yeah.
There are so many situations where harassment continues in a work environment, but we can't take our eye off of this. And training and policies have to continue. It's so important. I think that some companies might have not put it on the back end, but certainly COVID became our first and foremost issue, keeping people safe. But we can't lose sight that harassment in the workplace is unacceptable, and we have to train our employees.
Carol, thanks very much for your time. Great insight, and
hopefully
we can call on you again down the road as developments warrant. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Carol Goodman, partner in the New York City law firm of Herrick Feinstein. She is chair of the Employment Practice Division and also co-chair of the Litigation Department. We will take a break. Second hour of Wharton Business Daily coming up in just a moment. After the break, our weekly look at the world of marketing, some fun stories to talk about, including how Reese's, we know as a great candy, well, some of us do, you know, I do, Dion, you do, no question about it. They have had a cereal out for a few months now, and they're trying an interesting marketing trick to get more interest in Reese's Puffs. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, in the second hour, we get a look from Visa at the spending momentum index that they put out monthly, and where we are headed with spending here in the economy in the U.S., and how the change in some of the dynamics around COVID may have an impact moving forward. Second hour of Wharton Business Daily in just a moment here on Sirius XM 132.